Welcome to the Rapid Learning Audio Tutorial Series, the High School Chemistry course. This tutorial will show you the many paths to becoming a chemistry teacher, introduce you to the format of this teaching tutorial, present research findings on what should be included in the high school chemistry course, give suggestions on how to apply content to students' lives, and give tips on planning and where to find help. Teaching chemistry requires certification. Teachers must determine what content should be included, which includes planning and the application that students want in their life. Teachers have many resources available to them. How do you become a high school chemistry teacher? There are many paths. Some start out right away knowing they want to pursue education. They do it at the bachelor's level and then go straight into teaching. But others pursue their master's degree first, after either a bachelor's in science or a minor in education. Others go into education after working in industry for a while. Most states now have alternative certification programs. These programs allow people who have been in industry to get their certification in alternative ways that are not the traditional undergraduate education courses. Many teachers also go back and get their master's after they've begun teaching. The certification process varies greatly from state to state, and you should find out the details for your state. Visit your state's Board of Education website for contact information and details on certification levels and requirements. Many states now require standardized testing and/or background or fingerprint checks before certifying. Some states require a major in chemistry, others a minor, and others a certain number of hours. How is this tutorial series set up? The first three tutorials are for the teacher. This tutorial gives an overview of what a high school chemistry course should include, how content can be applied to students' lives, and what resources are available to teachers. The second tutorial is teaching labs in chemistry. Safety rules, common techniques, and types of labs are included, as well as how to teach inquiry. The third tutorial covers assessments in chemistry, forms of assessments, writing assessments, and grading assessments, including rubrics for subjective or performance assessments. Tutorials 4 through 24 are similar to the student version of the tutorials, showing the content. However, each tutorial has a teacher intro slide, giving a brief overview of the content from the instructor's point of view, teaching tips throughout the content section, and slides at the end showing common labs and common assessments that might cover the content from that tutorial. What content should we teach in high school chemistry? With all of the pressures of content and limited time, how do you know what to teach? How do you balance the depth versus breadth? How do you prepare students for college, yet keep those interested and applicable to those who might not go into college, or if do go to college, won't be studying sciences? The information in this section comes from two Journal of Chemical Education articles. The first, What Should We Teach in High School Chemistry, published in October 2003, giving the results of a survey of 96 college professors. And the second, What Are We Teaching in High School Chemistry, published October 2006, giving the results of 571 high school teachers' opinions. What do college professors want? There were 7 topics that were rated statistically significantly more often in a professor's top 5 must-haves than the other topics. They are basic skills, such as units, significant figures, and graphing, moles, dimensional analysis, stoichiometry, naming and writing formulas, atomic structure, and balancing equations. Along with the must-have content, many professors indicated other skill sets that they wish their students would enter school with. such as study skills, problem solving, lack of fear of studying chemistry, and an appreciation for chemistry in their everyday life. What topics are high school teachers currently teaching? Here is a list of topics considered appropriate by more than 96% of the high school teachers surveyed, and are also being taught by a statistically similar percentage of teachers. Basic lab skills. Basic skills such as units, significant figures, dimensional analysis, classifying matter and changes, writing and naming compounds, moles, and types of reactions, balancing equations, stoichiometry, atomic structure, electron configuration, the periodic table and periodicity, types of bonding and properties of those bond types, gas laws, and solutions and concentrations. All of these topics are covered in this tutorial series. Teachers indicated that these topics were appropriate by more than 90% of the 571 teachers. However, they're being taught by a significantly lower percentage of those teachers, meaning that teachers think they're appropriate and they should be in the course, but they don't have time to get to it. Scientific process skills, lab design, the history of atomic theory, Lewis dot structures, acids base, in a qualitative form of pH, strong and weak, as well as titrations. There's also a list that they felt were appropriate by a far fewer number, meaning that most of the teachers felt like these topics weren't necessary in a high school course. Equilibrium, thermodynamics, qualitative kinetics, complex acid-base problems, such as weak acid-base titrations, quantitative equilibrium, and quantitative kinetics. Teachers rate an average of 20.8 topics as being appropriate, and more than 20% of the teachers surveyed thought every topic on the list was appropriate for the course. However, teachers are only actually covering an average of 18.1. So although they believe they should be covering 20.8, they're actually only covering 18.1 topics. How can this content be applied to our students' daily lives? Applying content to the students' lives is important. It's not just the fluff, but rather the schema in their minds that you're attaching the current concepts to. It's necessary for learning, as well as increasing motivation and interest, and decreasing fear of studying chemistry, as well as the dreaded question, when will we ever need to know this? Applied does not mean lower. It is absolutely possible to apply concepts to the real world without lowering the level of rigor of the curriculum. Actually, it allows you to challenge the students more because they'll be more motivated and more interested, and you'll be able to go into more depth. There are several textbooks being developed and recently published that are geared towards this application without a loss of rigor. They include Chemistry in the Community, published by the ACS, Active Chemistry, published by It's About Time Publishing, and Chemistry You Need to Know, a textbook based on the research shown early in this tutorial and published by Kendall Hunt. All four of these textbooks, which are relatively new on the market, meet the National Science Education Standards and all focus on inquiry activities. You can also bring application into the students' learning experience with projects. Students can study things that interest them: fuel cell cars, hair dyes, fireworks, luminol, glow-in-the-dark algae, nuclear power plants, or anything else they can think of. I guarantee it all has some chemistry in it. They can read articles, newspapers, chemical and engineering news, which comes out weekly from the American Chemical Society, or Chem Matters, a magazine produced by the American Chemical Society specifically for high school students. You can order annual subscriptions or compilation CDs from the American Chemical Society. What help do you need in lesson planning? There are just as many types of lessons plans as there are number of teachers. Everybody does it in a different way. Over the year, you'll find the right balance and format for you. You may start out with very detailed, structured plans, and as you get more comfortable over the years, end up with much more of a skeletal outline, or even just a jot of a word will help you understand what you're planning on doing that day with your students. It's important, even if you have very skeletal or brief lesson plans, that you look both short range and long range. Look at the year. Which chapters, units, or topics do you need to cover based on your state, school, district curriculums? Estimate how many weeks each one will take. Use a calendar or planning book to block out weeks for those units. For each unit, make a list of sections, activities, labs, things that you want to do to help students understand those concepts. Be sure to focus on activities that will support the objectives of the unit. Make sure you list and include various types for various different learning styles. Will the list fit within the allotted time plan for the year, give or take a day or two? Or is it way too big or way too small? You may need to adjust that list of activities, being sure to focus on the essential objectives of the unit and the essential concepts students need to learn. Finally, your day-to-day lesson plans. Which activities do you want to do in which day? Block classes should contain 2 to 4 activities. 45-50-minute classes should contain 1 to 2. What is meant by an activity in the previous slide? Possibilities include lecture or discussion, teacher demonstration with discussion, short hands-on learning activities, such as manipulating cards for formula writing, a full lab that can take an entire block period by itself, depending on the lab, group work, or individual work time, as well as a quiz or test or review. Make sure you're a little bit flexible. Well-laid plans are good, but things happen. Snow days, assemblies, students not understanding and needing to go back again. These things are a regular part of high school teaching, and you need to understand that there needs to be some flexibility in your lesson plans. See what activities can be combined or dropped to make up the time. Extend the unit to include the activities if you cannot combine or drop anything because it's all essential, but realize that one of your future units will have to be shortened. In writing daily lesson plans, you may have a format from your department, building, district requirements, or it may be based on personal comfort levels. You should know the goals and outcomes for the student based on that lesson, the correlation to any standards you must meet, correlation to various learning styles, and a time estimate for each activity. Smaller classes will go faster than larger classes. It may also depend on the personality of the classes. We all have classes that are very studious and hard workers and always seem to get done quicker than the class with a very social group of students. What materials will you need for that activity? Which ones do you have on hand and which ones do you need to order or find? And an outline for any lecture, discussion, or notes that you want to give your students to make sure you don't forget anything. As well as what homework or classwork or practice work you'll assign to support those lesson goals and learning outcomes. Over the years, you may move from very detailed, written out lesson plans that include every aspect from the previous slide, questions to ask students to probe their thinking. However, as you progress through your career, it may turn down to a section number or a few words to describe the lesson. For example, empirical formulas. You may be comfortable enough with the topic that that's all you need to know in order to plan for the day. How you organize your plans is up to you, unless you have some method that you must meet for building department or district requirements. Long-range planning can be done on a calendar with room to block out weeks or days with a unit title. Short-range planning can be done in an official teacher planning book, daily calendar, agenda, notepad, or computer file where you list top to bottom the days of the unit. What resources are available for teachers? Many states have professional organizations, as well as nationwide. The American Chemical Society and Division of Chemical Education is a national organization that also has local chapters. The National Science Teachers Association, national organization also with state chapters. Some states also have chemistry teachers associations specifically for chemistry. Search on the website for information for your state. There are also some great journals out for chemistry teachers. The Journal of Chemical Education. They now have a portion of their website that's just for high school teachers called CLIC, C-L-I-C, and a reduced rate for access to articles that may be of interest to high school teachers without buying access to the entire journal. The Science Teacher is published by the National Science Teachers Association. Chem 13 News is published out of Canada. Search smart on the internet. Go to pages that have already filtered out many of the other sites rather than doing blind searches. Many organizations, such as NSTA, have resources that are free even to non-members. Flynn Scientific has great safety information, links to online MSDS sheets, and links to other resources as well. In summary, there are many paths to becoming a chemistry teacher. Research can show what topics are most commonly taught. Long and short range planning are important to making sure you cover all those important topics. And there are many resources available to help chemistry teachers plan their instruction. Congratulations, you've completed the audio tutorial on the high school chemistry course. For more audio and visual tutorials in chemistry, biology, physics, and math, please visit www.rapidlearningcenter.com. Thank you.